Good evening, everyone. Good to see all of you. You're all doing it. You're all falling in love. Maybe you'll remember the talk I gave a couple of weeks ago. The six paramitas equal love. And that's what we're doing. We've all logged in to have with our hearts open for this open-hearted dialogue about the true nature of our lives. And that open-heartedness is connected with this all-encompassing love that knows no boundaries. The connections just keep going on and on without beginning and without end. And sometimes in Buddhist circles, we call this love Buddha nature or emptiness or suchness. But this is what it is. And I'm kind of hearing an echo of one of Kathy's lectures of a month or so ago, where she says, it's all about relationship. And this practice, this experience of love, of boundlessness, of no beginning, of no end, on one hand, it's not done alone. It's always these heartstrings of ours, or the heartstrings of all beings that are resonating with each other. So it's all about the relationship. It's our very nature. It's easy to do. Maybe when we're all in our heads and kind of a worry about the times that we're living in, with the politics, with the health problems, with the divisiveness, we don't feel our hearts connected. But when we do what we're doing now, when we sort of say, you know, I'd like to connect with my life in a little different way. Maybe I'll log in and do a sit with the Zen Center, or maybe I'll just sit down at home and follow my breath, or I'll open up Zoom and listen to a Dharma talk. When we are doing that, this nature of ours, this Buddha nature, this nature to be in love, to be connected, to be intimate, is welling up, and we're a bigger being. We're not the isolated, fearful individuals. We're connected. We've got a dialogue going. It's not two people sitting together. It's one dialogue where our boundaries have started to soften. We're starting to merge when we're doing an activity such as this. It's our very nature. We just have to sort of let go, say, let me think about this differently. Let me put something down that I'm holding tightly onto, and we settle into our nature. Like Linda Ronstadt said, it's so easy. it's so easy to fall in love. That's our practice. That's spiritual practice. And we're doing it. This is it. This is the whole works. The fact that there's so many familiar faces, there's a few names and faces that aren't so familiar, but the fact that most of us are familiar to each other means that we keep coming back. We've gotten to know this practice. We've become confident that our true nature is this, is the way we connect. And here we are connecting once again. When I did my one practice period at Tassajara, I was remembering it was actually in another century that I did that practice period. So it's that was fun to remember. But when I did it, one of the first lectures that the abbot gave Reb Anderson, he said, "You know, this practice can be difficult. The schedule that we're going to be following for 3 months is difficult. The study of the nature of our lives, of reality, is difficult. Sometimes relationships with each other are difficult. So please reach out to others. Please connect. Please start weaving together a sangha that you can turn to and talk to about this practice and about your life." So right from the beginning of that practice period, of that inquiry into the nature of our lives, the abbot was saying, make a connection, fall in love, open your heart to other beings here. Feel bigger. Don't be stuck in one body. Feel bigger. Feel connected. I really appreciated that advice right at the beginning of the practice period. And of course, what we're doing right now, in this time, in this era, is difficult. How do we shelter in place for much longer? How do we heal the divisiveness in our nation? How do we connect with people who feel differently than we do? How do we watch the news without anxiety? So we're also asked to do difficult things, and this is how we do it. We log in. We find our center. We connect. We connect with people. We turn the light inward. This is our practice for negotiating the true nature of our lives. This is a central piece of our Buddhist religion, our Buddhist practice, this connecting. In the Lotus Sutra, in the Lotus Sutra. The Buddha is talking about skillful means. The Buddha is telling people, you know, I've taught a lot of things. This is my paraphrase now. I've taught the precepts. I've taught the paramitas. I've taught the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path and the 12 links of dependent origination. I've taught a lot of things. But I'm doing that because some people are tuned in to one thing or another. This is still me paraphrasing. For some people, the precepts are alive for getting along with people and feeling that connection. For some people, practicing the six paramitas, patience, vigor, morality, is alive and helps them connect with people. Looking at suffering for some people opens their hearts and helps them connect. So I've taught a lot of things. This is what Buddha's teaching is being skillful and meeting a person intimately and knowing what will skillfully help them to understand this intimacy, this profound interconnection with all beings. That's the heart of the Buddha's teaching. So I've been skillful. And he says that skillfulness, I have to make these distinctions, it says in this translation, between people and what their energy is. But this teaching is all about cheering the hearts of all, cheering up the hearts of all. It's touching hearts. So right from this very beginning, this is just chapter 2 in the Lotus Sutra, he talks about, this Buddhist practice is about touching hearts, about connecting, about manifesting this interconnection, either one-on-one or here we are all sitting together in this dialogue, with 20 of us or so, with our hearts open. So the Lotus Sutra says that the Buddhist teaching is about cheering up, is about cheering the hearts, getting the hearts activated. And then not too far down after that comes the famous line about even Buddhas don't do this by themselves. It's the famous line of only a Buddha and a Buddha. Only among Buddhas can the true nature of all things be fathomed, or the way it's said a lot. Only a Buddha and a Buddha can fathom the way this heart connects so infinitely. And we can realize this unity, this intimacy, this oneness together. Only a Buddha with a Buddha. Maybe sometimes it's just one other person, maybe with a teacher, or maybe somebody even that you don't know says something very wise that cheers your heart, and you know that the two hearts are together, and you feel that connection. So only a Buddha and a Buddha. This is all about relationship and feeling that connection with all of us here on the screen. We had this discussion in one of our other groups. Is this one temple we're sitting in, or are we all in our temples, and what's coming at us in the screen is just temple practice energy. It's the koan of our practice. Only a Buddha with a Buddha. Buddhas together realize this teaching. You know, we do that, here we are every Wednesday, having this dialogue. But, you know, on Friday afternoons, several of us meet with Neti to have this heartfelt dialogue together, studying the koans. And a group of us in the past have gotten together on the regular basis and done cooking for a variety of organizations. And all of us admit that we also really enjoy being with each other as well. We've gotten together as a group to study the koan of climate change. When we're so fearful about what's happening, we turn towards each other. Because we've got confidence in a gathering such as this. It doesn't even have to be a Buddhist gathering, but we had our climate change group at the Zen Center. We've got confidence that this reaching out and having a dialogue about these difficult koans, about these difficult puzzles, is a way to make connection rather than separation, is a way to move together rather than to feel fearful and isolated in solitude. So, and for the last, for over a year now, we've had a group, the Awakening Together group, that meets once a month to look at race in America, and race in our lives, and racism in our hearts. We've all gotten together to connect and say, how can we look at this huge, difficult divide, this huge thing, this huge wound in our lives? And so all of us Buddhas with another Buddha get together again and again. But you know, my neighbors get together and talk about what's happening on our street. The Zen centers are filled with school teachers, and I'm sure there's a big conversation going on, not in the Zen center, but among school teachers on, you know, how do we really open up? How do we really teach students? What's our mission? What's our calling during these times? So getting together, opening our hearts, connecting is our practice and is the true nature of our lives. The current issue of Buddha Dharma, maybe you've all seen. It's a great picture. Jizo going into the world with her mask. But there's an article in it. Written by Judy Reutemann, who is a priest in Zen Korean lineage. And they do a morning chant that sounds kind of familiar. It's a little different, but it's one of the small chants done in morning service. Vowing openly with all world beings, entering together Buddha's ocean of great vows, continuing forever to save sentient beings, you and I simultaneously attain the Buddha way. She's translated that. Maybe it's in Korean. But she's translated it word for word, in another way. All the many beings throughout the Dharma world vow together to enter Buddha's great vow ocean, exhausting the very fabric of time to liberate all beings who mutually, at the same time, attain the Buddha way. So this talks about, we don't do this by ourselves. We don't awaken as a pretty clever Patrick or a pretty clever Stan or a pretty clever Yarrow. We awaken together because we've been moved by our connection and our interdependence. We profoundly realize our interdependence. And this is the verse that Judy Reutemann says describes this practice of awakening together to the reality of our lives with hearts and minds connected. She illustrates this with the familiar image of Indra's net. And I think most of you know that image, the net, maybe a three-dimensional net. But if we think of a net with a jewel at each of the knots that holds the net together. And each of us is a jewel. And we're all reflecting each other's light. The light of all of your screen is nothing but this jewel, and my radiant light is bouncing off of each one of the jewels in your part of the net. And that kind of constantly reflecting and radiating energy is the true body of Buddha, is love, is suchness, is this profound interconnectedness, where we are all individually glowing radiantly, and we're also just the light of every other jewel. And that's how, and we would wake up to this together. Nobody says, oh, I'm getting some funny thing here. Is anybody else getting something on their screen? Oop. Or are we all back together? Okay, good. Nobody would ever, when they say to themselves, I'm really feeling connected to all of this light. It would be impossible to say that by yourself because you are nothing but the light that's coming from the rest of the net. So everybody awakens together to this heart connection, this connection of light, this connection of energy. This is Judy Reutemann's simultaneous awakening. Dogen has a fascicle about Buddhas, being with Buddhas, called Buddha and a Buddha. Let me just open it up. And talks about this way of awakening together. He says, Buddha manifests a body and awakens sentient beings. We've studied that, the three bodies of Buddha. And the Buddha that walks and talks and that we meet on the street and that we meet in the Zendo, and teaches us how we're connected. This is the Buddha manifesting a human body. A Buddha manifests a body and awakens sentient beings. That means that awakening sentient beings is itself the manifestation of the Buddha body. So the awakening episode of the Buddha and the Sangha, or me meeting somebody on the streets and being awakened to our connection, is itself the arising of the true body of Buddha, right there, right here. And I think it's obvious that, when I saw, the video of George Floyd calling out to his mother, for his mother, of course, I know what calling out for my mother is like. I love my mother, and I immediately connected my heart to George Floyd's heart around this love. And when I saw the officer, Chauvin, looking pretty smug with his knee on George's neck, I'm pretty familiar with smugness. I know that mind. I know I was able to connect through smugness with Officer Chauvin. And all of us were awakened so profoundly by this connection, even through video, just like we're having a video connection right now. Through video, our hearts were open with George and Officer Chauvin. Our hearts opened with each other. And we know that the Buddha body arose in that moment for all of us, and we awakened together in the presence of the Buddha body. And so this is the life that we know so well, so profoundly, and we just have to stay close to our hearts, pay attention to our hearts, Because that's where we will manifest as Buddhas, and where awakening moments in Buddha bodies will manifest before us. And this is what we do every time we sit in our upright position, every time we log in and connect with each other in this way. So maybe we can have a little dialogue about our connection, about the awakening experience, about the falling in love that we know so profoundly, so intimately through song and through our hearts and through our eyes and our bodies. Would anyone like to talk about this intimate connection that we are having right now, all 20 of us? Yarrow.
It's a little off point, but I was struck by a commentator on NPR, I believe. And they were saying, it was a woman, and I can't really remember the context exactly of, you know, what the main part of the report was, but it was just about how she was struck by, because of this experience of this virus being on surfaces and being in the air, that it made that the whole interconnectedness of all of us and this world was made so so extremely obvious in this context. If it wasn't obvious before, this is just underlined all of that with, you know, a red mark. You know, of course, we're all completely interconnected, and that's why we're all dealing with this thing that's with us, mm-hmm. on us, and all around us, and connecting us in this odd, you know, and not so wonderful way in many ways. But anyway, I just thought that just struck me, that comment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was obvious that was the thing that awakened that person. Just all the things that we touch and that we share in common, and that's what the Buddha meant by teaching skillfully, is that we're all tuned in because of our karma to different antennas, and this was that commentator's way of really understanding our intimacy. You know, looking at the precepts for people, for some people, or a way of, you know, looking at our intimacy. So this is the skillful means, and the commentator was able to tell us about that awakening experience for him or her. Thank you. Susan.
Hello, everyone. I've been thinking about touch. And because we're physically isolated right now, we can't touch. And so many people have said to me, oh, I just long for a hug. I long to touch people and be physically present. But at the same time, I think we're learning a new way of being touched in our hearts. And that it isn't just a physical thing, I think people have been, I know I have, and everybody I've talked to has been deeply touched by all of this in various ways. And I think that we're learning a big lesson here, and not to depend just on the physical aspect of touch, mm-hmm. that our hearts are being opened. So I've been thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. The arising of a heart connection is how we're taught, is a great teaching, is the arising of Buddha in our lives. Thank you. Kathy.
I feel just extreme gratitude for your articulation of this teaching, Patrick.
Oh, thank you. And
I think this is the most important thing. And I love the comments that have been made by Yarrow and Susan, because I think they really exemplify just how much we're all learning right now about the truth of what you've been talking about. And I'm smiling inside me and wondering about this question. I'm going to ask it. I had a conversation with a practitioner a couple of days ago who said to me, you know, where is love in Zen? You know, I'm a big preacher of love. I'm sure those of you who have heard me would recognize that. I think it's the most important thing. She was like, where is it in Zen? I don't see it in Zen. And I find myself feeling like some kind of rogue to talk about love and teach about love. And yet you are demonstrating how easily it can be done. Even chapter 2 in the Lotus Sutra. It's like, whoa. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but I'm just having a moment of deep appreciation for your Dharma.
Birds do it. Bees do it. Even educated fleas do it. I think it's the smallest jump, a flea size jump, between when the Buddha says, you know, teaching cheers the heart, to teaching is love. And maybe it's us Westerners who've, you know, injected or translated backwards and are saying love more often. But I think it's just the smallest jump, and it's not hard to find in the literature. So that's where I sit with your inquiry. Where is love? It's just a flea's jump away. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, let's do our last chant before announcements. May our gathering be the manifestation of Buddha's true body. And lead us down the path on Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to enter them, to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.